So, starting out in 1 Job, if you'd like to turn there with me. Job chapter 1. And I read this from the Message paraphrase. It says, Job was a man who lived in the land of Uz. He was honest inside and out, a man of his word who was totally devoted to God and hated evil with a passion. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was also very wealthy, 7,000 head of sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, 500 donkeys, and a huge staff of servants, the most influential man in all the East. So this man, Job, he was loaded. He was a big cheese. And it says, continue on, it says, his sons used to make turns in hosting parties in their homes, always inviting their 3 sisters to join them in their merrymaking. When the parties were over, Job would get up early in the morning and sacrifice a burnt offering for each of his children, thinking maybe just one of them sinned by defying God inwardly. Job made a habit of this sacrificial atonement, just in case they sinned. Now some more narrative. One day when the angels came to report to God, Satan, who was the designated accuser, I haven't got any sound effects here, came along with them. God singled out Satan and said, "What have you been up to?" Satan answered God, "Going here and there, checking things out on earth." God said to Satan, "Have you noticed my friend Job? There is no one quite like him, honest, true to word, totally devoted to God and hating evil." Satan retorted, "So, do you think Job does all that out of the sheer goodness of his heart? Why, no one ever had it so good. You pamper him like a pet. You make sure nothing bad ever happens to him or his family or his possessions. You bless everything he does. You can't lose." Then he says, "But what would you think would happen if you reached down and took away everything that was his? He'd curse you right to the face." That's what he'd do. Verse 12, God replied, "We'll see. Go ahead, do what you want with all that's his. Just don't hurt him." Then Satan left the presence of God. Sometime later, while Job's children were having one of their parties in the home of the oldest son, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were ploughing and the donkeys were grazing in the field next to us when the Sabians attacked. They stole the animals and killed off the field hands. I'm the only one to get out alive and tell you what had happened." And just a bit of a historical digression here. Job's story is set in about the second millennium BC. So it's quite some time ago. And it's just to clear things up, it's quite well known that when the Sabians attacked, they often wore pink and white striped tights. So just to say, had any questions there. While he was still talking, another messenger arrived and said, "Bolts of lightning struck the sheep and the shepherds fried them. Burned them to a crisp. I'm the only one to get out alive and tell you what had happened." So you can see, Job started out with all these riches, all these stock, all these oxen and sheep, and slowly these things are being destroyed. While he was still talking, another messenger arrived and said, "Bolts of lightning struck the sheep and the shepherds and fried them, burned them to a crisp. I'm the only one to get out alive and tell you what had happened." And then, while he was still talking, another messenger arrived and said, "Your children were having a party at the home of the oldest brother when a tornado swept in off the desert, struck the house, it collapsed on the young people and they died. I'm the only one to get out alive." Job got to his feet. He ripped his robe, shaved his head, then he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked, I come from a mother's womb, naked I'll return. God gives, God takes, God's name be ever blessed." Not once through all this did Job sin, not once did he blame God. So that's where I'll end with a story just for now. We know the story goes on, but we end with this position of Job. He's naked, he's ripped his clothes off, he's shaved his head, like he's back in his mother's womb. And the question is, why did this happen? Because Job didn't know about this conversation between God and Satan. Job just seemed to be a pawn in all these things going on. He didn't know this bigger story, this bigger picture. So you can imagine when Job is in this position, what would you ask? What sort of questions would you ask? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this suffering? I've been a good person. I've done well. God has blessed me. And suddenly all of my riches are just taken away. I've got nothing. And we even read further on the story where Satan attacks Job's health. He ends up in a pile of ashes, scraping his sores with a bit of pottery. It gets even worse for him. And then we'd read in chapter 2. Three of Job's friends heard all the trouble that had fallen on him. Each travelled from his own country. Eliphaz from Teman, Bildad from Shuhar, Zophar from Namath, and went together to Job to keep him company and comfort him. When they first caught sight of him, they couldn't believe what they saw. So his friends are with him, and Job's in the ashes, and you think he's got some questions, wouldn't he? And what I want to talk about today, this book is quite a complex book, the book of Job in this story. But what I want to focus on is how does Job deal with seemingly such abrupt unfairness in the world? How does Job deal with suffering? How does Job respond to all this? What sort of questions is he going to ask? What's going to go through his head? I'd like to just go to chapter 3 in Job to hear Job's first response. Job 3, then Job broke the silence. He spoke up and cursed his fate. He said, obliterate the day I was born, blank out the night I was conceived, let it be a black hole in space. May God above forget it ever happened and erase it from the books. So he's in such despair at the moment that Job says, just erase the day that I was born. Erase any form of knowledge of my life. Just take it away. He's at this point where everything is so bad. And his friends came to comfort him. And we saw the puppet show, didn't we? Do you think his friends said some words to help him through? To give him some confidence? To sympathise with him? What was the basic idea of his friends? What were the basic things that his friends were saying? They were saying, Job, you've done something wrong. Now just admit it to God and get on with your life. It's all your fault. And so what was Job's response? Well, we'll read it with some of his friends. We'll read out just the basic tenet of his friends in chapter 4. Starting in verse 7. This is Eliphaz. He says, think, has truly an innocent person ever ended up on the scrap heap? Do generally upright people ever lose out in the end? It's my observation that those who plough evil and sow trouble reap evil and trouble. That's great comfort, isn't it? To Job, he's in this pile of ashes, and his friends say, Job, it's all your fault. They came from this idea that his friends came to comfort him, but they just had this idea about the world that was like you do something and you have a result. Job had the result of losing all his riches, losing all his stock. Therefore, his friends said, therefore, Job, you must have done something very wrong. Action and reaction. That was the basic thought of his friends. Action and reaction. So they came to say that to him, and he didn't get any comfort at all. So what's Job's response? In chapter 7, I'll just read some of Job's response. And this is he's responding to God here. He says, in Job 7, verse 7, God, Don't forget that I am only a puff of air. These eyes have had their last look at goodness, and your eyes have seen the last of me. Even while you're looking, there'll be nothing left to look at. So he's in this terrible state, and he's going to God. He's talking to him, saying, God, I'm in this terrible state. I just don't like it. I'm confused. I'm bitter. I'm angry. And even says later on, he says in verse 11, and so I'm not keeping quiet one bit about this. I'm laying it all on the table. My complaining to high heaven is bitter but honest. Are you going to put a muzzle on me the way you quiet the sea and still the storm? So what's Job doing here? His friends come and say, because all this bad stuff has happened to you, you've done something wrong. And Job says, no, I'm innocent. We read at the start of the story that Job is a good man. He is one of the best men, but one of the worst things are happening to him. So what is happening here? His friends say it's because you have sinned, you have done something wrong, you don't know about it, therefore just repent to God. But Job's response is, my life is bitter, I'm confused, I don't know what's going on, and he shouts to God this what's called a lament. He voices his pain. He voices his confusion. He voices his bitterness. He voices his anger. And his friends, if you read some more of Job, his friends never talk to God about this. They talk about God, but Job is the only one that speaks directly to God and voices his opinion to him. Almost accusing God, almost saying, God, you're doing something wrong. So we see here that Job is bitter, he's confused, he's upset, he's perplexed, he's discouraged, he's got no answers of why he's in this state. So what? What does it mean to us? Job, his story set many, many thousands of years ago. It's a book of poetry. What does it mean to us? Well, I'd like to share with you some modern day poetry, because I think some modern day poetry picks up on this story of Job, where things don't always go right, things go a bit wrong, and it happens quite a lot. We hear it a lot. And so I'd like to just play part of a song. This is a song about a young boy who is writing a letter to his grandma. So if we can cue the song, please.
Dearest grandma was the way he always started the letter. It wasn't the only occasion he wrote to keep it together. Thank you for the birthday present, it'll really come in handy. I'm writing partly cause I hope you're not angry. Mom and dad are yelling at each other like every night. I end up locking my door and I write, would you please be able to visit and maybe make a makeup? I hate to think that it was me that made my parents break up. Next year I'll be in high school. Pretty nervous actually, though I know it's coming. I don't want no broken family, it's my fault. And I don't like it here, and it's my fault. And now my little brother's in tears, and Gran, I hope you're not mad. Swear I'll try to be good, cause mum and dad will get along much better when I'm being good. Signing it, love your grandson. Quietly he stored it in the cupboard with the others, and tightly held his brother he was.
Under pressure, I'm eating up under pressure.
My dearest grandma was the way he always started the letter. It wasn't the only occasion he wrote it to keep it together. Thank you for the birthday present. It'll really come in handy. I'm writing quietly because I hope you're not angry. Mum and dad are yelling at each other like every night. Like every night I end up locking my door and I write. Can you see the similarities between this poem, this song, and the sufferings that Job is going through? There's a voicing of this anger. There's a voicing of the suffering. There's a voicing of what's going wrong. And this kid who's writing this letter says, next year I'll be in high school. I'm pretty nervous, actually. And he says, And Gran, I hope you're not mad. I'll swear I'll try to be good, because Mum and Dad get along much better when I'm being good. Sign in it. Love your grandson. Quietly he sorted it in the cupboard with the others and tightly held his brother. He was under pressure. So we see this story of a young person who's just under pressure. He's had a few bad things happen to him. And what he's doing, he's voicing his pain. And when you voice something, you want someone to listen to it. You can't explain it. You can't rationalise it. But you just want someone to listen to the pain that you're going through. And this is what Job is going through. He's going through this confusion. He's going through this pain. Things aren't fair. All these bigger things are happening around him. He's lost everything. And he's voicing his anger, his bitterness, and his distraughtness to God. And that happens around us. Whether you've got the story of this young person who's starting high school soon, who's got some problems in his family. Whether you're old or young, we all go through things where things just don't seem fair. Where there's no answer to the things going on around us. But we see in the story of Job that God is big enough to take our protests and our pain. He's big enough to take our questions. He's big enough when there's no reason or rationality in life. He can absorb it. He takes it. And the problem with Job's friends, as we saw on the puppet show, what did they try to do? They tried to rationalise God. You've done something wrong, Job. Therefore, this is why this is happening. Now get with the show and just get on with it. And Job says no. We see in Job that the best person had some of the worst things happen to him. What Job's friends were doing is that they thought they had God worked out. They had God in a nice, little, neat box, all packaged. Everything was clean. Everything worked out in an action-reaction sort of way. But as soon as you start to deal with God like that, that's the exact point when you're not dealing with God, when you're missing the point, when we start to rationalise things, explain things, make God fit into a certain pattern of doing things. That's when we lose touch with God. But we see in Job that he brings this question and the pain and the bitterness and the anger straight to God. And God, as we see in the puppet show, God engaged with him eventually. He spoke back to Job. Job had a few things that he didn't understand, right? But God engaged with Job. And that's something that we are tasked to do as well. As people who have faith, people who follow Christ, because you see Christ's life. Christ, when Christ was asked a question, what did he do? He asked another question to that question. And so this is what God invites us to. Our task is to come to God and have these deep questions that we have to him. He's able to absorb it. Philip Yancey Philip Yancey's a writer. He said, one bold message in the book of Job is that you can say anything to God. Throw at him your grief, your anger, your doubt, your bitterness, your betrayal, your disappointment. He can absorb them all. And in this story of Job, we see that God embraces us in this confusion that we're in. In this confusion, this anger, this bitterness, God at that point embraces us and shows that, in fact, that he was with us all the way. And that's the great message of Job, of the Bible, of this life that we have, that God engages with those deep, confusing questions that we have. He wants us to come to him with it. He wants us to engage with him so that we may come to know him more, so that we may be encouraged, and so that we may share and voice the concerns and the questions we have. Because that's the only way concerns and questions can come out into their fullness when they're aired, when they're voiced, when that lament is shouted out.